Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
The College Ball Show podcast is back. I'm Chris, he's Marshall, and we're here to break down everything that is the college football championship game. What an epic game, and that's something I don't really say too much. I think epic, the word epic is overused maybe the last, what, 2, 3, 4 years or something like that, but it was marvelous. It was epic. The way it ended, the momentum swings throughout. Just a great, great game. And, you know, we were all excited for the rematch. It did look like Bama this year was, I'm not going to say untouchable because obviously they weren't, but it was pretty damn close to untouchable. It really, really looked like it this year. And to get the rematch and for it to actually live up to it and beyond expectations, because if you look at last year, it was a great game, phenomenal game, but the fact that it took all the way down to 1 second left on the clock a couple years back, Jameis Winston, he, what was it, 10 seconds or something like that? They scored a touchdown to beat Auburn. I remember Cam Newton against Oregon and Auburn. That game, that was, what, 2010? That came down to the last second because that was that field goal, although, you know, they were right there on the goal line, and they decided to go for it, but half the offensive line didn't even know they were going to go for it because the plan wasn't to go for it. Cam was just like, screw it. A couple offensive linemen said, follow me, let's just do it. Who cares what the play call is? But that one came down to the wire. Obviously, the great USC in Texas game, that came down all the way pretty much to the wire. I think that was a good 30 seconds when Vince Young, baited that safety to stay home, and it looked like he was going to throw it left, and then he just, you know, burst into the end zone with a 20-yard run or whatever like that. But what a phenomenal game. What a phenomenal game. And make sure you stay with us. Next week we'll be back. College basketball is in full swing, as you know. It's called the College Ball Show for a reason, because next week we'll be back into college basketball. We'll be doing it weekly just like this. We'll have recap, we'll have previews, debate, predictions, news, all sorts of stuff, right? And we're going to do that all the way to the national championship game. Then we take like a week or two off and we go right into the NBA playoffs. So after this will be our last college football show of the year. Well, I shouldn't say of the year, right? Because next September we'll be picking right back up, or at least late August. So anyway, let's get in to the nuts and bolts of this thing, because like I said, it was a phenomenal game. Just a great game. There was some controversy at the end. We've seen this throughout football, in big and, you know, in important games with the picks. Right, the screen, the picks from the wide receivers. We'll definitely get into that a little later as we break this down. But I'm going to let my co-host in just a moment. I'm going to kind of recap the first half on the way I looked at it anyway. Let you do it, and then we'll work our way into the second half, because that second half was just full of momentum swings. Just when you thought Clemson, which played a lot better in the second half, offensively and defensively, just when you thought, man, they're really moving now. They got that momentum. All of a sudden, it got taken right from them. It looked like Bama was going to pull away. And then, like I said, in that fourth quarter, 21-7, they outscored them. I think it was 21-10 in the second half. But there were so much momentum swings down the stretch, no doubt about it. Early on, though, let's just talk the first quarter. That was Bama. That was Bama. There was a personal fall right out the bat that made it like a short fourth down play. It was a clothesline, basically. They were going right for Watson. Both defenses actually sent a message. It just, you know, early on to the quarterbacks, it just the Alabama one was a little bit more rough. They were saying, "We're coming at you, Watson. Here you go. Here's a clothesline." It was actually a great message and something that sometimes you don't see as much, especially in the pro football. Not that I like a guy going for somebody's head, but it's a message, right? And that's what it comes down to. But that didn't really do much because they stuffed them on a short play anyway. And then there was a penalty, like I mentioned, on Clemson. Same thing. Well, not really same thing, actually. He blocked the ball. The defender for Clemson blocked the ball or trying to swing in for the ball, but his other hand he shoved right in his face pretty much on purpose. It wasn't one of those he was trying to swat with the ball and it grazed the helmet. He clearly was trying to do one with his left hand and the other thing with his right hand. So there was some penalties there early on, and Clemson was the one that really made the mistakes early in the game. A big run by Jalen Hurts kind of set up the Bo Scarborough 25-yard touchdown. So right there, it's 7-0. And it just seemed like Clemson couldn't get it going, and when they did, they made mistakes. Even right after that touchdown, making it 7-0, they had a fake reverse that Scott took out near midfield, but there was a penalty there. So they took it back. You know what I mean? Beyond that touchdown drive, I will say this, though. The first quarter and a half or so, the defenses were playing great. They were playing pretty solid. There was a fumble that Bama got on that. It was a bad shotgun snap. It went to the left, but this one was low. And actually, there was two bad snaps, but one of them caused a fumble. But Clemson was able to contain that. You know, they were able to be like, all right, three and out, no big deal. But Bama, excellent punting, pinning them, you know, within the 1 yard line. And it seemed like for good chunks of the game that Bama just had that field position, or possession, I should say. Watson started, you know, a lot of people thought Watson started out pretty bad. He was 5 of 5, but it was only for like 36 yards. Then it was 1 of 4, I think the only completion they had lost yardage. And at that point, you know, they said a star was born when Jalen Hurts went in for that late score with 2 minutes left. I was thinking a star was born with Bo Scarborough early on when he had that 37-yard run. Now he's got 2 touchdowns. It's 14-0. And you're thinking, wow, they really better score on this drive because otherwise it could get really ugly. The way Bama was playing on both sides of the ball, they managed to score, you know, to get that thing 14-0. They had a nice, like a quick screen play that was blocked very well. Deion Kane, a guy that wasn't there last year, he got suspended for the game. He had a nice long pickup, and Watson, even though there was that second bad snap that went to the left, this one was at least high so he can contain it instead of that fumble that was low. And that was like I don't remember how long of a run that was, maybe a 10-yard run or something, 5-yard run, something like that. But it was a nice drive. And with 6 minutes left, here we are right before half, a couple minutes before half. It was 14-7. Clemson's defense did play fairly good still, though. Boulware was the guy that was doing it all night, that linebacker, great, great linebacker in the nation. I'm just going to pass it off to you, Marshall. Overall, in the first quarter, they only allowed 47 yards of offense. And by the time the second quarter ended, You could see Clemson was finally able to pass the ball. And sure, probably half of the yardage was on that one scoring drive. But they both were around 180 total yards. Bama, though, had 143 yards rushing. So you thought, man, the defense is playing good. They're running the ball. This doesn't bode well. Clemson, like I mentioned, managed to get 50 yards rushing. But they just – a lot of it was one play there. So at half, and just in the first maybe quarter and a half, Marshall, what do you think when Bama was up 14 to zip? And then what are you thinking at half when, although Clemson didn't play great, especially on offense, they were still in the game?
You know, around that time, Chris, I think that Clemson managed to kind of weather the storm, to use a football cliche normally, to the fact where they were in the game. You had not really seen Deshaun Watson escape outside the pocket, and you're only down a touchdown. last show we mentioned about how Washington had that blunder before half against Bama to make it feel like a 3-point game to a 10-point game, but almost felt like a 30-point game. And it was kind of the opposite reversal, to where Washington played Bama pretty tight and went into the halftime on a mistake. Clemson had come out, you know, you'd say relatively pretty flat offensively. But at halftime, if you're Dabo Sweeney as the coach, you're telling your guys, we're only down 7. And they didn't see our best half of football. So I think they'd found a way to stay in tight. Now, when Bama went up 14-0, part of me was like, well, this, I might be falling asleep and it might be 28-0 here. Like, because Bama had been the team this year that was invincible, and to spot a team at 14-0 lead and Deshaun Watson was having no scrambling ability, things I wouldn't say were looking too far up. Another point I kind of made throughout the game, just for a mental note to myself, and you mentioned it briefly, was the punting. And honestly, that was almost, it would have been my starting key point if Bama had won, was the punts. Because honestly, Chris, I mean, they could have trotted you and us out to punt the way Clemson did. You heard the announcers consistently say how field position was consistently in Bama's favor. And that was even a topic presented to Dabo Sweeney at half, and you mentioned it to, I believe it was Sam Ponder, one of the nice reporter gals asking him. I believe it was her doing the game. And he's like, yeah, we got to work on our field position. Well, my God, your punter is literally doing this rugby kick with about 2 ounces of energy behind it, and you wonder why your field position battle sucks. Well, your punter was trash. Now, I'm not sure if that was a strategy and massive sign of respect to the fact where they were simply afraid to kick the ball deep to Alabama, because they felt that a deep return on a punt could be a massive issue for them. But, I mean, the whole game, for kind of a boxing match, because it involved a lot of punts, Bama's punter played a marvelous game, and Clemson's guy would literally kind of take the ball, walk 2 steps, happen to move his foot in the direction of the ball, and it would kind of roll like 10 yards in the air, then bounce. And I don't even feel bad for him. I was kind of blown away. I guess Clemson had seen so much on film to the point where they said, guys, we're going to manage with 30-yard punts, and we'll let Bama turn the 35 if we have to punt, other than kick it deep. And it didn't come back to bite them, because in the end they end up winning the game. So, I mean, my point isn't completely 100% accurate, but God, the field position battle was just due to a complete scarcity of wanting to kick the ball deep, or the rugby punting style, which Clemson used, was just incredibly ineffective. And I've never really thought about
– too. Obviously, the defense had something to do with that, because they're stopping them. But sure, You're right. They didn't – there's only about 2 of them that even worked, and they were even doing the kickoffs weird. They were putting them at the 30-something too. Between punts and kickoffs, you're right.
With special teams being such a factor that doesn't get often spoken of, Chris, yet it is such an important part of the game for the field position. I was just kind of taken back by the strategy they took. Now, again, they did manage to win, but man, if they had lost, and there's another point I'll get to later in the show, the special teams would have been, if I was a question as a reporter, I would have said, guys, what was with such a cautious approach? Like, were you simply afraid? Because I remember there was one punt in the game, and then I'll move on to something else. But, I mean, the ball literally went 10 yards, and then it rolled like 20. But, I mean, it's like it came a few feet off the ground, so it was just kind of a strange ordeal. But
they might as well have Watson. Because remember Watson?
Yeah.
His
pooch
punt was
like, nice.
Might as well have just done that, you know, because then at least they're not lined up properly either.
Sure. Absolutely, because Watson had a really nice pooch punt for like 40 yards, and he kind of nailed it inside the 10, and he'd done the same thing versus Ohio State. So I'm with you. But, yeah, I guess my special teams take, and aside from and along with the fact that, again, you came into halftime telling your kids, you know, we got a chance. And the more I coach, since I've been coaching sports down here in Texas this year, the more you look at the game simply from the watching it as a fan and kind of watching it as a coach's angle. And I'm not saying that I'm some world-renowned coach, but you can tell the look on your team's face, and even though they're, you know, these are college kids compared to my junior high kids, they still turn to a coach, and the personality you take in the locker room is evident. And it's whether or not, you know, do I need to motivate the players on my team? Are they encouraged? How do they feel? Well, I think his halftime speech was probably pretty simple. Guys, we played some kind of crummy football. Let's go out, play the football we know how to play, and let's make ourselves win this game. Because the whole first half, I'll make this point and throw it back to you, sir. I'd remembered last year about how Deshaun Watson would, like, run outside the pocket, make some big plays, and move his feet, and just have some scramble, kind of like Michael Vick-type plays where the quarterback's going to run around and he's going to make something happen. Not exactly to Vick's talent, but something like that. And they contain him so much in the pocket as, like, either, you know, I don't think Deshaun Watson lost any speed and he doesn't appear to be hurt, but I haven't seen the, well, we're going to do kind of a modified run option or a sweep or something. But overall, Bama kind of missed an opportunity to cash in because they had a lot of possessions in that second quarter offensively where they could have put up 21 in the first half or 24, maybe even 28. And the offense went kind of stale. So I think we're kind of on the same page. But again, that punting, man, I was shaking my head. I was like, what the heck? Are you trying to maybe make a punt bounce off a defender when it's on the ground and recover and get lucky? But that was something else, my friend.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I can see some on the kickoffs to an extent because I do remember Bama did take back a kickoff last year for a touchdown. And not just that, they Clemson has had a little bit of issues. I remember them mentioning it really just in passing, but the punt, that's a whole different ball game. I mean, that didn't make any sense. I mean, it makes sense if the guy's doing it properly, but about every other one, he wasn't. You know, it was like, well, dude, you know, and they're already winning the field position as it was anyway, so why make things worse? And it's funny that it came down to you know, getting Watson actually kind of turning that mode because here we are, it's 14-7, start of the third quarter, and they pick up a couple first downs, Clemson does, get out to not even midfield just yet, but Gallium got stripped, and the ball did get returned inside the 20, but to be honest with you, when they stripped Gallium right at the line, basically, it looked like one of those touchdowns for Alabama, didn't it? I mean, he picked it up. He took his time. You know, he bent down just like they tell you to do. He picked it up and started running. And I thought, dude, this is it. This is game, set, match. They're going to score here. As we know, it's 15 touchdowns total defensively in special teams. But Renfro, the guy who actually made the great catch to win the game, or a catch to win the game, wasn't a great catch. Great play overall, being that they fit it in there just, you know, with a second left. But he made the ankle. It wasn't necessarily a shoestring because, you know, the guy wasn't fast, I guess. But he made an ankle tackle that saved the day, no doubt about it. And it was only 17-7 because Clemson once again. And that's why I think, although those two drives, Marshall, I know you said, you know, the offense kind of stuttered. I think that was the defense from Clemson, because beyond those two big runs, they were not allowing them to run the ball at will just yet. Like I said, about damn near half the yardage were in those two long runs. And I guess the third, that'd be about three-fourths of it with the Hurts run as well. So at that point, though, it's kind of funny because we mentioned they picked up a couple of, you know, they got the field goal, so 17-7. And then it looked like a potential scoring drive for Clemson, but it got stalled out. But they had a nice, that pooch punt, like you mentioned, a three and out plus Bama. Speaking of punting, we're talking a lot about special teams, but it played a big part because they had a bad punt that actually, for once, gave Clemson great field position, and that led to Hunter Renfro scoring that 25-yard touchdown to make it 17-14. And here we are, middle of third quarter. You're looking at Hurts, and it's 8 for 20, 49 yards passing, nothing over 12 yards. And you're thinking, wow, this momentum is starting to change. And Watson, it's like 3rd and 16 or something like that. And Watson says, screw it, dude. I'm going to try to run. Nobody was open. And you're right. That you made a great point. They contained him in the pocket. They were like, he's going to have to beat us with his arm. Sure, you'll get those little first down runs and those little 3-yard pickups. But for the most part, he can try. But we're not going to let him get outside the pocket. And they did a great job with that, although – He made him pay either way. But this was a key moment for Bama, Marshall, because Clemson had that momentum. They had just gotten it to 17-14. They had gotten the ball back. They were forcing Bama. By that time, Marshall, they were stopping the run because every third down seemed like 3rd and 10 or 3rd and 12. It was 3rd and long, no doubt about it. But that play, 3rd and 15, and Watson said, screw it, I'm running. And he tried to run, and he tried to leap in the air, and he got hit with a huge shot midair, and he did the helicopter. We've seen it a couple times. We've seen it with Elway near the end zone in the Super Bowl against Green Bay in, what, 98, 97? I think it was 98. We've seen this way back in the day with the Jets and the Dolphins. There was a Monday Night Football game that they spun a guy around. He did a freaking 720, right? And it landed just short, like a yard short of the marker. And it was done. You're like, wow, what a momentum. It almost felt like, okay, wow, that was a big play. Because usually Watson or any running quarterback, Hurts himself, great running quarterback, they can get those yards. They can find a way to juke a guy or dive or just get the damn pickup, you know. And they couldn't do it. And wouldn't you know, the Clemson killer, O.J. Howard. You know, O.J. Howard, the first, like, year and a half of his career, I never would have thought he would have stayed till senior year because this dude was a stud. Then they kind of used him as more of a blocker. He actually would have some problems catching some balls, and they just really didn't go to him much. Last year in the final, in the championship game, he had a monster year. And 68-yard blown coverage. And I'm thinking – the helicopter hit to stymie him from a first down to keep that drive going, and then to turn around and get it to 24-14. At that play, at that moment, you're thinking, wow. And, Marshall, that was the biggest, that was the longest play given up all year, 68 yards. And you're thinking, wow, Clemson's just got to be like, are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me? Here we go. A blown coverage. They had played so great for the passing, maybe not the rushing, but they played great, you know, that way anyway. And wouldn't you know, 68-yard touchdown. And at that point, you're like, man, Wow, this is going to be uphill. But you know what? Clemson answered back with an impressive drive capped by a nice touchdown by Mike Williams, 24-21. Bama had a little mix-up, and I'm going to send it back to you as we count it down here and break it down to the last play. But Bama had a little mix-up. Speaking of O.J. Howard, he kind of leaped up to catch a ball, but that ball was actually supposed to go to a running back, and it would have been a first down, and it looked like he had more room. It's funny, though, because Clemson on the third down play, speaking of a big play, that may have been a touchdown. Leggett, the tight end who made some great catches, he made a mistake here. And this is something you don't always see, but he broke open wide open. And he slowed down and turned around like, hey, I'm open. Meanwhile, Watson was already throwing it before he even turned around. You could see on that back angle, he just said, oh, he's about to turn the corner. And he didn't really turn the corner with speed, so it made the ball high, so he had to go get it. And even he had it in his hands, though. He actually probably should have caught it anyway. But some key little mistakes that, you know, caused some problems there. You know, that's still – they were kind of trading back and forth. The defense has stood up, no doubt about it. But still, Clemson had the momentum. And there was a you know, what should have been an interference penalty call on that punt where the defender, the Bama defender, didn't let the Clemson defender try to catch the ball. He didn't allow him to catch the ball. They didn't call it. But I was like, huh, that probably should have been a call, but it didn't matter. A great catch, one of the three or four gains, large gains through the air that got him, you know, first and goal. Great catch by Mike Williams. He made a couple of them. That guy's a stud. It's a good, you know, he clearly showing he should have been there last year too. And Watson leaps for the touchdown, just short of it, right? And it was first and goal. And actually, no, he did score on that one. He actually did score on that one. That was the other one when they were down there. He leaped in for a touchdown, 28-14. Oh, no, I think it was first and goal. Either way, yeah, because Galliam's the one who scored. It got it all the way down there, but he hadn't quite made it to the end zone. So under 5 minutes left, it's 28-24 in Marshall. This is the first time in the fourth quarter that Alabama – had not had the lead, the first time trailing in the fourth quarter the whole freaking year. And that's crazy, dude, especially in college football. You would think that there would have been a game that they would have trailed maybe early in the fourth quarter and then kind of housed them or whatever. But, you know, it's funny. They didn't mention it, Marshall. I don't know if you saw this, but the kicker almost missed the extra point, dude. It was close. It was really, really close. It went left, and I thought, oh, and maybe it's just the Minnesota in me, you know, that I'm like, oh, he's going to miss the kick. You know, maybe it's just I see it going left, and that's a miss. That counts as a miss because, you know, obviously the Vikings had some issues with extra points, and the NFL in general this year did.
Very
but
true.
That almost happened. And that rushing a touchdown by Galliam, here's another stat that really blew me away. That was the fourth touchdown, rushing touchdown, given up all year by that Bama defense, dude. 14 games worth, and they only gave up the fourth one right there. That tells you something. And at that point, momentum's all the way now. Clemson's gone, two touchdowns, caught all the way back up. The defense is playing great beyond that blown coverage. They're playing great. Look at the stats here in the second half at this point, Marshall. 248-125, 17-3 when it came to the first, you know, first downs, and at that point it was 21-10 scoring. So you're thinking, wow, dude, they just turned this all around. And the second this was obviously, you know, deep in the fourth quarter now. And Boulware, who I mentioned as that linebacker, one of the best, if not best, linebacker in the country, he totally sniffed out this screen, and it was a tackle for loss. And you're thinking, wow, dude, it's second down or third down, and they this is going to be tough. But they said, screw it. They had a nice big play that set up a fourth and one. because it was third and long, and they went for it. They definitely went for it, got the conversion on fourth and one, and then Marshall Saban, or, you know, not Kiffin. Oh, shit, we are so deep in this game, we haven't even mentioned Lane Kiffin.
Oh, trust
because,
me.
Well,
trust me.
They put
I got some comments about that.
Steve Sarkisian, he comes out with the trick play or ban. You know, I actually heard it was Saban saying, let's do that play. Because, you know, you generally kind of have some plays that you kind of look at each other and say, you know what, we worked on some things, let's do that play right now, that type of thing. And they did that. They did that because it wasn't like some huge pickup, but it was a nice pickup. It was a trick play. They threw it to the wide receiver. Wide receiver hit Howard for like about a 20 or 30 yard pickup. And that was followed by a great touchdown run, a 30 yard run. And it happened so quick, Marshall. And Hurts has this way of just kind of, he's just sly when he runs. You could tell he's moving fast, but it doesn't look like it. And he just kind of veered right, like, excuse me, you're in my way. I'm going to go to the end zone. And Hurts ran in there, touchdown, and you're thinking, wow, dude, holy crap, there goes the momentum. Now Bama's up. But they did leave like a 1:58 on the clock, two timeouts, and that's a lot of time, as we know. Now, I'm going to let you kick in here. Mike Williams made another leaping catch that got him inside Bama territory. Then they actually tried a trick play, like a little pitch reverse that actually was just like a decent pickup. But after that play, Marshall, there was about at least 20-25 seconds. They wasted a lot of time because here's Watson looking at the sidelines, waiting for the play call to come in. And I'm thinking, what the hell is going on, dude? You guys, tick, 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 tick. What are you doing? Are you guys playing for the field goal here? You know? And the call came in. They got a play off, and they called a timeout with like 19 seconds left. Then Leggett got him in there. And then, you know, obviously an incomplete pass, and here we go. You know, obviously Renfro with 6 seconds left. They snapped the ball, and with 1 second, as we know, and I want to hear your take on the pick. I'll give my take as well. But what was going through your mind when Jalen Hurts scampered for 30 yards in the end zone? Did you think, wow, well, that was fun, Clemson, but now it's over? Or did you look at that clock and go, hey, 1:58 left, two timeouts. They got plenty of time, and they've been moving the ball. What'd you think, man? Because that fourth quarter in the second half, the ebbs and flows, the momentum changed back and forth, back and forth. The Clemson defense played great at times because I think they forced like, I think 6 3-and-outs or 7 3-and-outs in the game. What was your thoughts in that fourth quarter, dude? Because that was fun. Clemson looked like they had all the momentum, and Bama kind of looked like they stomped out their dreams momentarily. But Clemson got it done, and they ended up toppling Bama. What was your thoughts down the stretch, man? Because it really looked like, sure, it was 24-14 after that big blown coverage play. Howard got that ball. You're thinking it's over, but they fought back and they had momentum down the stretch, man.
I think it kind of goes to show that we honestly got to watch just some special freshman quarterbacks this year. I mean, I guess this gives me a chance to mention my boy Sam Darnold with that huge pass against Penn State to win. But Jalen Hurts,
by the way,
true redshirt freshman, and then Jalen Hurts being a true fresh, that pass he made on that 3rd and 15, where he did a across the body running towards the sidelines towards the midfield play to make it a 4th and 1. I mean that takes stones.
I thought he was throwing the ball away. I really did. He kept that play alive.
Yeah, I thought he was basically throwing up kind of a little modified of a Hail Mary, like, well, crap, I'm not going to run out of bounds. I'm just going to chuck. And the pass was complete. And then to basically say, you know what, we haven't had much going on. I'm taking the damn ball in the end zone myself. And you can tell, as they mentioned, I think, why, you know, they enjoyed him so much is that the guy does run. He is kind of basically a running back. that they've worked on transforming into quarterback. This blew my mind because we talked about all year about I'll get to my boy Kiffin here soon, but about how Kiffin recruited a quarterback that is a little different than what Saban normally does. But, and I swear to God, I heard this stat, and maybe it's not true, but I'm almost 100% certain that in that fourth quarter, they said that Jalen Hurts had more rushing yards this year for Saban quarterback than all of his other quarterbacks combined ever in Bama.
To 1,000 this year, so that kind of makes sense if you think about it, because they've only had that. Sims is the only guy that could even move a little bit, and he was more of a passer. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I heard that number. I'm like, holy cow. I mean, again, I know that Nick Saban's not running an option offense, but in college football, I mean, people run. Quarterbacks run. It's kind of part of the game. So for him to make that crossbody throw and to have that, I believe, close to 32-yard run for a touchdown, that was like, wow. And then, as you mentioned, it's like, all right, Deshaun Watson, you know, you guys had your chance last year and it let slip away. So, you know, now's your time to shine. On the other hand, it's like, all right, Bama defense, you've been anointed the top of the hill this year. And are you going to, you know, push them back down and see what happens? And for kind of a side note, I think it was clearly shown, and I mean this with the utmost respect for Bama, that for once Saban didn't have that one cornerback he normally does, that the guy looks to be about 5'10", but you know he's going to be a first-round pick, and he's kind of a lockdown defender. Because to kind of go full circle on this compliment and whatever, there was no one to really contain Mike Williams. And I know people said he's probably the best receiver in college football, but man, it seemed like every time they threw the ball to him, he caught it. And there's normally some type of guy on defense that's like, all right, dude, we know they're going to him. Like, I was just kind of surprised that Bama couldn't come up with a coverage or a double team or a bump and run.
Can I jump in real quick, though? I'll tell you why they couldn't. Because they had four receivers that had 90 yards. Renfro had two touchdowns and 10 catches. Kane had five for 94. Leggett had seven. They had too many weapons. In fact, Kane and Williams didn't play last year. Isn't that crazy, Marshall? How many points they put up last year, right? And a lot of that had to do with that offensive line because they lost, I think, four seniors from last year on that offensive line. They had a great offensive line, just a pretty good one this year. But think about that. Four receivers with 90-plus yards, I don't think they could put a second guy on there, although you make a great point about not that one stud corner. I agree with that. That was missing this year. You're right.
Yeah, you know, he's always got that one dude, but nonetheless, you know, but to go 360 or maybe I'm at 540 or now in the circle, some of those catches Mike Williams made were tremendous catches. I mean, it was like, dude, what just happened there? Like, he had that one where he kind of, like, did kind of a half-tuck spin and kept the ball up, and, you know, because God knows, I mean, geez, they did so many damn reviews, and I get that it's championship game, you don't want to miss stuff, but there was a stretch there where I'm like, Christ, have we reviewed, like, four out of the last, like, 10 plays?
It felt like
you know,
that.
We're pushed on about a four-and-a-half-hour game. Holy cow.
Kind of like the Green Bay and Giants game, too. There was several of them. Like, dude, Jesus Christ, stop.
I know. So with all that said, here's where, man, if I think that if Clemson had lost, you could have, honestly, you could have made a point for Dabo to be fired. Because that clock management, Chris, in my mind, man, now I get that you don't want to give the ball back with Bama with too much time. But, I mean, their clock management was just mind-blowing. As you said, there was about 50 seconds left in the game, and they were like at about on like the high 30s yard line. ESPN goes to show a stat that says Clemson's kicker is like one of three in his last like four games. I'm like, okay, well that's not reassuring. And then you thankfully had that pass to bring it down to like the 10, but the lackadaisical approach of just giving away about 20 seconds.
It was after that play. It was after that play, that legged play. It was about 25 seconds, and it looked to me like they were just playing for the field goal. That's what it looked like to me. I was like, okay,
yeah,
they must be playing for the field goal. Yeah.
And even so, I don't get that mentality. It's like this isn't like a regular season game, and it's like super windy, and you're playing hope for the tie. It's like, dude, you're trying to win a national title. So the clock management, it's like maybe I caught up in the moment. And again, we all are reminded at times that coaches are human. But there, as you mentioned, there was the 50-second time clock to like the –
And the whole offense is ready. Watson just staring at the sidelines like, what the hell's going on, guys? You know? Yeah, that was crazy. Usually it's the actual huddle that's taking too long, and they need to, you know, some – no, that wasn't the case. Watson's just staring over there. I'm like – and I'm looking. I wrote this note down as it's happening. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Watson's looking for the play call. I just say screw it and run a play, you know. But, hey, you know, I guess that's why they get paid the big bucks because it turned out like that.
Even Herbstreit and Fowler were like, well, they're wasting some clock here, guys.
Pep in the step,
you
guys.
Know?
We need some coffee. It's late on the coast.
So then here's what I think even the bigger blunder is. And again, it didn't happen, but just to play a little bit of a fun talking point was they screwed this clock stuff up so effing bad. That if that wide receiver had tripped over there or been so wide open, he had the kind of the yips moment and that ball dropped out of his hands, they lose that game and don't run another play. The what if factor of, my God, if he had dropped that ball, how would have you ever been able to describe that if you're Clemson?
They would have been set up
to go.
The field goal at that point, though, wouldn't they have? I mean, they were at the
two. Well,
he caught
the ball with 1 second left. If that thing goes to
the
ground.
No, he caught it with three or two, and they had 1 second left. Because they wasn't at the buzzer. It was 1 second left, so they could have kicked the field goal.
Okay, well, I guess in my mind I was thinking if that thing did, by chance, Chris, happen to get, like, tipped up or something.
The tip could have extended it. That's a great point. Yeah, the tip could have definitely extended it, for sure. That's a good – if it got tipped around, that could have been, sure.
Something, your route gets picked or it gets bumped up or it gets deflected or it falls in the air, you tackle on the half-yard line. It's like there is no excuse in the world that a coach could say that would say, well, guys, sorry, we there's one time left on the clock, you know. Thankfully they won, but, man, that was just such a weird way of handling those final clock moments. But, hey.
However, though, let's not go too negative on this. We've been a little negative here, and they won the damn game, for Christ's sake. So,
it worked
out pretty good. I think one moment – that 25-second gap, that was their problem. Otherwise, it wasn't like that was an ongoing issue, you know.
No. And for the play itself, you know, we see this in the NFL and in college, and they say that, well, you know, it almost is like send a pick in basketball, and it's a little different of a term. I mean, you're not putting your hands over your man parts and throwing your shoulder and sending a stationary pick, but there is kind of a way to do it without getting caught, a way to do it with being caught, you know, and flagged. And whether that Clemson guy was kind of pulled down a little bit by the Bama guy, it was almost looked to me like the Clemson receiver, like, fell down in a way that he was, like, going to, like, get prepared to, like, take off from, like, the blocks and, like, a track meet. And he didn't really, like, set a huge pick. I mean, it's like he won an Oscar. It's like he was Leo DiCaprio. Because – you've seen some of those picks where they're like the receiver will be running across the DB and kind of shoulder him. But this dude literally kind of just fell down in a formation where, I mean, if you didn't know the pick rule is such a rule, he did it perfect. It's like he kind of went to like a bear crawl in football, which if you've ever had to do bear crawls in football, it's one of the coaches mad at you. He did it to the T. So I'm not going to say there should have been a flag because I've seen other picks run like that, where a guy bumps them or does something. I thought he pulled that off perfectly because he just kind of fell down effortlessly and didn't really hit him. And to me, that was a good no call. I know there's the pick controversy, but for how you should run that without getting caught, I thought Chris, he whether he tripped himself or he did that acting job on purpose, I thought he ran that pick play to perfection, and I would not have thrown a flag there because I thought of how smooth he made it look. What was your take on that play?
We have a little bit different take because if you look at the play, and I know you rewound it. I don't know, maybe you were in a bar. I'm sure you've seen it a bunch. But the defender makes contact first, actually. Before there was anybody on the ground, the Alabama defender was the first one to put hands on the wide receiver. So right then and there, it was a wrap. Because no matter
True.
What we're going to say
True.
About what you – then you described it very well after that. Because he just kind of went forward and then like, all right, do you got hands on me? I'm going forward. And you're right. He kind of
mm-hmm.
just played that way. But once the contact – if you're talking about contact, which people were, then you have to look at who made the contact first. And clearly, without a doubt in the mind – the defender made the contact first, and he probably shouldn't have because it's easy for me to say that, of course. He has a right to because he's within the five-yard limit, clearly. They're right on the two-yard
yeah.
line because of the pass interference call, which was a great pass interference call because he was wide open. He would have been wide open. It was a great call to just grab him because that would have been a touchdown right there the play before. But, yeah, the defender is the one who made the contact, so he got, you know, sucked up into that. And then you're right, the dude just kind of went forward a little bit, and you described that perfectly when he went kind of, you know, veering towards the ground. So, to me, instead of grabbing, he should have just pushed, and then he could at least read what was going on, and then he could have, you know, gone. He could have just been like, oh, and just went right to that play because they had
mm-hmm.
to have assumed. And as far as tipping the ball around, you do make a great play, although my guess is they said, here's the thing, Deshaun. We know this play. If he's not open, you throw it out of bounds. You know what I mean? Because it's right down the line, and he probably was just like – he was probably told in that play, hey, dude, just chuck it, you know, so there's no way either our guy gets it or nobody gets it, you know. So more than likely it wouldn't have been tipped anyway, although you do make a great point because – It's easy to say it, but then when you see your guy right
it
there
is.
And you throw it, a corner could have made a quick little play because that's a really – there's not a lot of room down there, and someone can make a 3 to 5 yard, you know, step really quick and close on a ball when you don't think that they can because there's not a lot of room, like I mentioned. But I'll tell you what. I mean – the Clemson defense, especially early on, gave up too many big running plays, right? They had that one breakdown as well, the 68-yard touchdown that was just a total blown coverage. But other than that, and I know that sounds funny saying other than that, but they played phenomenal. They gave up a lot of yards to you know, 221 overall for rushing. But to make Hurts go, first of all, to make him throw the ball 31 times, that's huge. And you could tell they were starting to really close down that run. And like I mentioned, it was like, I mean, the second half, it seemed like they were always in 3rd and 10 or 3rd and 12 or 3rd and 9. They were always in long. And like I said, I've never really seen them 3 and out that many times. But to have Hurts go 13 of 31 for a buck 31, he had 63 yards rushing. Scarborough had 93. But they tighten that up about as good as you can get. And for Watson, considering that we thought this was either tied for the best Alabama defense or the best Alabama defense, to go 420 yards and to throw the 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, I don't put that fumble on him because that was a low snap to the left. He was just trying to grab it. He had saved another one by the goal line. That was a bad snap.
Yeah.
36-56, especially the way that game started. They were like, nope, you're going to throw short. That's all you got. And for a while, that seemed like that's all they got. Then they kind of put it all together. They did manage to run a little bit more. They got up to 91 yards, which still isn't much. Watson had 43. So overall, accumulated 463 yards rushing and four touchdowns, no picks. And like I said, that fumble's not his. So this guy had two phenomenal games against, a Bama team and defense. I mean, Watson really put a freaking bookend to his career, man. I mean, he threw for more touchdowns this year. He also threw more picks, but he put it all together. And that second half, I'm not going to say flawless, but that's about as flawless as you're going to get. And now you can look at it, and it's hard because they won with 1 second left. You know, that I brought up the SEC and how weak it was this year for their standards. And could it have ill-prepared them for a game like this? Because when you haven't trailed in the fourth quarter all year, that shows dominance, clear dominance. But it also shows, like, damn, you really didn't get tested much. I mean, there's only two games or three games that they got tested. The Ole Miss game, right, where they got – it was like 28-7. They came back, and then they got out so far ahead. Sure, when you look at the score, I think it was like 45-42. One of those touchdowns came really late, and the game was over by that time. Obviously, the LSU game, 10-0, that game was on the table the whole time. But really – and then what? Midway through the third, they were down to A&M, and then after that, they rolled. So maybe that caught up to them, but just because I brought up that point, I don't think it caught up to them that much. Only, sure, I brought up the point, but I'm not the type to say, see, I told you, because look, they lost by a frickin' 35-31 with a second left. So I can't sit there and say, oh, they were ill-prepared. Because they didn't play anyone. I'm not going there. Although I said I just brought that up because I wanted to still see it, and because you never know. And they did manage 35 points against them. I mean, you had a guy that you contained in the pocket. You kept him in the pocket, and he went for 420 on you. So maybe that played into it. You know what I mean? Maybe that played into it where they're all like, oh, my God, what the hell's going on? But it sure didn't feel that way considering they marched down on like a four-play drive and scored with 2 minutes left after they had finally, given up a lead. So I can't really go with that point. To me, I think it was just too tight. But for Clemson and Watson to have that kind of game against that defense, that says a lot, man. They literally went out of their way to contain him. He had 21 freaking carries, So he was trying to run the ball. They just couldn't. And he said, okay. I mean, he did in spots in the second half, and there were big first down runs and stuff like that. But overall, he couldn't really run that well. But to go for 420 and to have both, years now where he just blew up, this guy, he really is a legend. A college football legend, dude. And just that drive, it just had the whole USC feel to it, Texas feel to it. And like I mentioned, people forget that Florida State and Auburn game came all the way down to the wire, and so did the Auburn-Oregon game. But that was a phenomenal game, man. And just go ahead and give kind of your final thoughts on all that stuff. If Kiffin, we got to get Lane Kiffin in here because we're talking about him. We got the quota. And real quick, though, because we want to make it a short show, you got to get to bed. College basketball, kick it in next week, guys. Remember that. We're gonna cover it all the way to the national title game, and we cover the NBA playoffs all the way till July. Beyond free agency, basically, is right when those free agent market hits. That'll be our last show. So we keep this thing going on a weekly basis. I just want to make sure the listeners, who we really appreciate, hey, if you only like college football, you don't like basketball, that's cool too. Maybe you'll just watch the Final Four and the National Championship stuff, and you wait for March Madness. We'll have shows on that as well. But just kind of sum up the game, the performance? Where does this leave the Bama defense all time, you know, for under Saban and all that? Can we say it was the best one now? I don't know. They couldn't really stop him in the second half when they needed to. I don't know. I think it was just a phenomenal game, and I don't know. I hate to – like I said, I hate to bring up, man, Bama didn't play anybody, and that's why they lost this game. But it is pretty crazy, Marshall, that that was the first time they even were trailing in a fourth quarter, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's part of this weird kind of thing where, I mean, you know, it seems like in the SEC, they literally – it always has been kind of more of a – excuse me, of a defensive-based conference. I mean, now, you've had your star players in college for this guy, Manziel and Cam. But, you know, when you think of the SEC, it's kind of always been more defense running backs. You don't think Highland quarterbacks. I mean, God, we just found out that, you know, Hurts this year had more rushing yards than all Saban's quarterbacks combined, you know. So, Maybe it is just that, you know, how do you map out how to stop an explosive double threat quarterback like Watson, and he's got kind of that it factor to him. I mean, you know, he joins that club of like I said, Cam Newton and Manziel to be the guys that can be so difficult to contain for four quarters. That's kind of the best way you can beat Saban, because there's not a pro style offense knowing a man that's been able to beat his defenses. So it is a very nice ending for Deshaun Watson, because for the last couple of years, all we've heard about is the Bama defense. And in theory, he did lose last year, but I don't remember too many people attacking Deshaun Watson last year saying, hey, you know, kid had a rough game. Deshaun Watson, maybe statistically, might have even put up more numbers last year. I'm not exactly sure. I'm sure
they
were close.
Because he did, yeah. Because they were in the 400s, but he had more rushing yards. I think he had like 86 rushing yards or something.
Oh, okay. So overall, I mean, a very nice win. A tremendous game against a team that, you know, the whole week, basically people are saying it's Bama. And for the first quarter and a half, that defense did what Bama done. And again, the momentum you take into halftime is something that deeply matters. And going into half, I said, Clemson, I'm sure Dabo Swinney said, guys, we played pretty crappy, but we're in the game. Let's forget about last year, and let's stick it to them this time, and then let them go home sad. So, yeah, you're right. It was more of a defensive struggle. I think maybe from a work standpoint, last year appeared to have more explosive plays throughout the game, but that final fourth quarter of the game last night was just it was very good football, and I'm happy we got rewarded that, because I remember looking at my clock and it was like, okay, it's like, you know, this game's almost 3 hours long. We have 7 minutes left in the third quarter. Holy cow! Like, okay, can we pick up the speed here? I don't want to watch a 5 hour football game. But now to just get in a point or two. Because after the game last night, I did go on Twitter and I just punched in Lane Kiffin, and there was quite a few comments being made. And I'll just give out numbers. I'll save my personal rant. But last night, Nick Saban had 11 punts. That's the most punts Nick Saban's ever had in his career as a coach at Bama. Their offense on third down was 2 of 15, and they went a streak where they had 9 failed third down conversions. Now, I realize 100% that Clemson does deserve credit for a marvelous offensive or marvelous defensive line slow down Clemson. But maybe these
unnamed, they did put up 31 points, too.
They did. They did. You know, they did have their good drives with running. Well, you know, and God, Bama's offensive line, you got 2 of your 5 guys are first-round draft picks in the NFL. But I mean, Bama's offense just kind of hit a snag, and maybe these unnamed coaches who felt like taking shots at Kiffin in the week should have been working a little more on their game plan, and this is kind of Lane Kiffin rant. That offense, 2 of 15 on third downs, and you had 11 punts, you know, and you can't even blame completely Sark, but, you know, from the way this played out, my boy Lane Kiffin kind of just had to roll back and maybe have a chuckle. Cause
what about last week? What about last week? He didn't get any blame for that. They had 57 yards passing. They put up 24. They put up 17 points in that game.
They got the W though. They got the W.
That's what I like.
So hey, if for being a Kiffin supporter, it was kind of like, you know, but I'll just say this lastly, but it was kind of funny how Herbstreit wasn't going to go with the Kiffin angle. Because I at least four or five times in the game, he said, "Well, you know, Steve Sarkisian has him in the OC, but he's been a film analyst for Bama the whole season, and has specialized in calling third down plays." Well, you went 2 for 15, so it's just a little karma to the unnamed Bama sources coaches who took some shots at Kiffin. Well, maybe you should have been worrying about your own game plan a little bit more than coming at my boy Kiffin in the press because you lost. I had to get that little rant in, but as you mentioned, Chris, a tremendous game. I guess you could have been 0 seconds left on the clock, but
Don't even say that.
Here's what could have been crazy. And for
overtime.
A split second, Chris, I thought we were going to have an issue because for a second there, when they did the little magical onside kick, they did a little putt onside kick to wrap up the game. If that ball had been touched, you have a 1 second Hail Mary from the 40. Clemson went from, "Guys, we just won the national title," to, "We're going to review this." And that ball must have been within about 2 inches of touching that Clemson player on like a 7 yard bounce. So that
would
have
been.
Yeah, but
they don't got Aaron Rodgers, so they wouldn't have been able to do it.
True. Very, 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 very true. That the guy who's now mastered Hail Mary. But hey, it was a tremendous year of doing this college football with you. Again, thank you to all of our loyal listeners. I think this is probably the best year we've had. As our chemistry continues to improve in the show with you, my friend, and just a very fun national title game. As you said, next year for Bama, they're going to lose some people. But he's always going to bring people back, you know. I'm a defender of Kiffin, but Sarkisian's a hell of a play caller too, and Bama's always going to have a defense. But it was nice because if you don't care all about Bama and have any ties, it had to be kind of cool to see someone else win, and not that Clemson is a doormat of a team, but I remember for every year you and I have done this show, Chris. My last point is every year in our show for the 6 years, I always have that one moment of, "Man, Chris, Clemson 6-0, can't wait for them to fall apart." We would always kind of have a champagne bottle opening for Clemson, like, "Oh, Clemson's undefeated. Wait till they pull their Clemsoning moment." And finally, those moments are over, and they can.
There's
and
a new
go
theme
home with the title.
For Clemsoning now.
True,
now,
true.
A new meaning, Clemsoning.
And they got it done. And they rewarded us with a great championship game. I hope that the March Madness championship game will stay up to par. I tend to forget what happened last year in March Madness national title game because
I can remind
I'm tired
you.
And,
well, we do a little show on it. We do a whole show on the national title game.
It's getting late. Chris and I will be back. Sometimes we even do two shows a week because with college basketball being a different parameter, there was so much talking, and man, there's going to be a lot of fun to talk about this year. We'll have our show. But hey, to put a cherry on the top, it was a hell of a college football season. We got treated to a very nice run of bowl games to wrap up the year. An excellent national title game that had a nice plethora of issues, or I shouldn't say issues, but of points for us to talk about to wrap it up. And we'll be back again for college football. But as Chris mentioned, we're only one third of the way through our season of sport fans in our college ball /NBA show. So please feel free to stick with us and join us. College basketball is kind of the same deal. It's where we discuss, debate, and predict. I'll even try to find a crappy pick of the week this year for college basketball to keep that segment in because that is truly one of the most fun things to do on the show. So thank you to the listeners. Props to Clemson, a hell of a run. Obviously, Tuscaloosa fans are disappointed, but sometimes you have to be reminded in sports to where, you know, you can't be on top of the hill forever. Where I went to college from North Dakota State, they'd won 5 Division I AA titles in a row, and some of those fans were sad this year it wasn't 6. Well, you can't always be on top. So props to Clemson. Kirsten and I will be back next week, ready to top hoops. We hope that you join us. Again, as I always say, be safe. We don't have any holidays coming up, which is weird, but enjoy the weekend. And if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, please support me. I'll be at the game cheering on my boys against Aaron Rodgers, praying for no Hail Marys. And it was a fun year, Chris, and I hope the basketball treats us the same. Everyone take care and have a good night. Peace.